You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We got problems, B.
Uh-huh.
You and I have been vocal advocates to rebuild RFK Stadium.
Yep.
I think you and I view it through a similar prism in that it's an opportunity to completely change a part of the city and restore something that was incredible and make it big and awesome and a real benefit to all parties from Laurel to Fredericksburg, uh-huh. Honestly. I suppose not everybody sees it that way. And, you know, folks are entitled to their opinion. Throughout this process, I think you and I have tried to maintain a calm confidence. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
So, Mayor Bowser was on with Sheehan, and I don't know how calm or confident she is at this point. Jeff, you wanna play this, and we can kind of come back and see what the hell's going on here?
All right, last one, and this is sort of, you know, the way I do things on radio. Level of concern, 5, you're really concerned about this deal getting done. 0, you've got zero concern. Our football team's going to be playing in a brand new stadium on the RFK site by the year 2030. Where are you today?
that's a good question. Listen, I'm concerned right now that everybody buckle down and get to work. I'm not concerned about our deal. Our deal is solid. It pays off for D.C. And at the end of the day, I think everybody wants the same thing. So I would put my level of concern because, you know, when you're a big city mayor, you're concerned about everything. I'll put it at a 4.
Okay. Well, that's one away from very concerned, but we'll leave it at that.
All right, she said 4 out of 5.
Yeah,
but the commentary surrounding it didn't sound that concerned. Is that?
Yeah, the giggle at the end doesn't tell me that she's really concerned. Maybe not happening on the time limit that they have put out there, July 15th. But I think overall, she thinks it's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think she might also want to seem more concerned to maybe turn the pressure up because, you know, Mayor Bowser faces a ton of scrutiny on all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
The council gets to duck a lot of it. Like, the mayor is the forward-facing person. Like, when average people talk about this, they're not bringing up Chirman Mendelson all that often. And he seems to be the real, the guy pulling all the levers, and like the actual machinations of government appears to me that he controls them. When we take up this bill, when we take up, mm-hmm. you know, this discussion. And honestly, my read, when we had Seagraves on last week, what he pointed out is that Mendelson is keeping the financial policy in place. Like, the DC Council is going to vote on the actual, like, bond structure mm-hmm. to get the money to build RFK. They just want more time to examine the deal.
Yeah.
And for me, just as a outside observer that, you know, knows some things about what's going on, but I'm not a lawyer or a councilman member. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the, you know, it's been a long time since civics class, I'll say. Yeah. But if you're going to leave the way, if you're going to leave the money structure in there, but you want to create more time so everybody can presumably read the bill, or you can grandstand, perhaps if you wanted to look yeah. at this with a cynical eye, you could grandstand a little bit and say, oh, I don't know, and you could hold rallies and more hearings and allow, you know, there is opposition. I understand there's opposition to this, and you can allow the opposition to feel more heard. But, like, if the money part of this gets passed, the rest of it is kind of just window dressing.
Yeah. And so I've seen it like that too, and it's hard for me to really be concerned when I see the game being played. You know, to say he never came out and said no. He said, I just need more time. Okay? And there are other people who probably are hiding behind him, but there are others who also don't want to offend him. You know? And I think in the long run, the stuff we talked about with Seagraves, I still think that's a hell of a play. And I think that based off of how that thing came out, they understand that. They know in the long run, in the end, it's going to happen. But you can always go down saying, well, I tried to stop it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, dude, I think there's so much of that. So I want to give credit. Obviously, the mayor has the mayor's all in. She has put her money on the table and said, I want this done. And then council members McDuffie, Bonds, Pinto, and Felder have said, yes, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll even give credit to Councilwoman Nadeau. I hope I'm saying that right. She at least has been clear. I'm a no. I'm not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
She's not politicking. She took a stance, and while I disagree, I applaud her for taking her stance, right? She mm-hmm. she feels like she's doing what's best for her constituents. Everybody else, you got seven people. And the Washington Post put them into four columns. There's the four yeses and the one no, mm-hmm. and everybody else is in the middle, somewhere between undecided and no unless. Undecided means, hey, I'm gonna stand here and get some airtime on this topic, to me.
Mm-hmm.
And no unless means I'm going to horse trade a little bit. I'm going to try to get a little bit more stuff for my ward, and then I'm going to vote yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the people in the middle. What they're doing is politics. I understand that. Like, I'm not knocking the hustle here. But, like, all they want to be able to do is say, oh, we fought harder to get this in. Or if this thing goes sideways, they don't want to be out in front saying I supported it or I didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's the man in the arena. To council members McDuffie, Bonds, Pinto, and Felder, I applaud you for taking a stance. For even the councilwoman Nadeau, I don't agree with you, but I applaud you for taking a real stance.
Yeah.
Do you think all the undecideds are really that undecided and really just need more time? Or do you think they're just mucking this thing up?
I think mucking. I think they're mucking it up. That's what they do, man. It's amazing how you can get all these different people from all these different backgrounds, but when you get into these type of situations, they all do the same crap. They play games.
Totally. Like, yeah. Is this to make your future mayoral campaign look better? Mm-hmm. Or have you really not had the time to read the bill? There's also, I mean, to the council side of this, the mayor was also very late in getting the proposal to them. Apparently, there was, I feel like all these deadlines are just arbitrary, but apparently there was a deadline to get the budget sent over that she went way past. And so a lot of this, I think, is just tit for tat, pound of flesh. You took too long, so we're going to delay this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't let the mayor off the hook for taking too long. But if I had to guess, the mayor and the commanders were working through a $4 billion deal. Might take some time.
Uh-huh.
I'm hard-pressed to think with more money coming in.
I don't think so.
Like, I just, dude.
See, this is the thing where I get to this point. So you have someone who's here who's willing to do some work. But everybody else starts talking about what's going to happen. But guess what? There's nobody else trying to do the damn work there. Nobody else is trying to build there. It's been sitting there forever, been an eyesore, and nobody's doing anything. But when you got somebody that want to do it, oh, we don't want to do that. But you don't have nobody else to do it. So you don't have an answer. Or you don't have a solution. And I damn sure don't want to hear what you have to say at this point.
Correct. If one of the council members that was in the middle, Mr. Fruman, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If Mr. Fruman's like, yeah, I'm not sure because I'm working on this deal with American University to build a new hospital. And there's going to be AU Hospital and AU Med School on the RFK campus. Like, all right, you got something else that you're trying to do. And that would bring money and jobs and all sorts of stuff. It wouldn't be what I'd advocate for, but at least that's a real idea. Not just like, we got to wait a little bit. I wanted to point this out. Mark Seagraves tweeted this out yesterday. So when all of a sudden it seemed like the green light was on for RFK, at least getting the land back from the feds,
mm-hmm.
If you remember, it was Congressman James Comer that was a very unlikely supporter, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's from Kentucky. He's a Republican from Kentucky, if I have that right. Yeah. Republican from Kentucky. But apparently, and to her credit, he and Mayor Bowser struck up a friendship
mm-hmm.
because they both believe on some level in a bipartisan, like, we do have to be tough on crime. I think that's how they started a friendship, right? Congressman Comer was one of the huge forces in getting the land back to the city to ideally develop RFK Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Seagraves said there was a statement. Congressman Comer is the chairman of the Oversight Committee. The statement reads, Chairman Comer remains a strong supporter of the RFK Stadium legislation, which will unlock the district's full economic potential, create meaningful new jobs, and enhance the beauty of our nation's capital. He looks forward to having a conversation with D.C. Council Chairman Mendelson regarding this once-in-a-generation opportunity in the near future.
Hmm.
What do you hear, B?
I hear what I've been saying the whole time. When 100 people decide to all agree upon something, they're not telling you what they think should happen. They're telling you what they want to happen. Final. That's all I have to say.
It's
going to take, listen, I just hope that, and Josh has to he has the right to say one finger salute to all of them if they don't come around quick enough for him based off of what he has his mind set for. But ultimately, if he were to walk away, cool. But I believe this thing is going to get done, and it's going to get done a lot quicker than what they're trying to tell us.
Here's what's going to get done real quick. We're giving away Adam Sandler tickets next.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here, Commanders fan. I'm ready to take the excitement global. So join me and True Fan Travel this November for the ultimate fan getaway as Washington takes over Spain. complete with game tickets, all-inclusive tailgate parties, five nights at the Westin Madrid Cusco, and curated local events across Madrid. Spots are limited, so head to truefantravel.com and lock in your seat. True Fan Travel, they handle everything, and you make the memories. Be part of history for the first NFL game in Madrid. That's truefantravel.com. I hope to see you there in Spain.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP today. It's time to get out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and welcome our guest from the AP, Stephen Wino. You can follow him on Twitter, at SWino on Twitter. Wino, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. How are you doing?
Doing good, brother.
Can you get us up to speed on the Capitals? And they had the draft over the weekend, I believe, or at the end of last week. Who do they draft, and what can we expect from some of these guys?
We're not going to see most of these players for a few years now. Tomorrow is going to be a much bigger deal for the Capitals. NHL free agency starting, and I think they're going to go big game hunting for at least one big free agent, and if not, a few guys. Lyndon Lakovic is their first-round pick, is a big winger out of the Western Hockey League. It's kind of what the Capitals do. They love drafting kids out of that league. They love drafting big kids, particularly out of that league. And they got Milan Gastrin, a center from Sweden in the second round. They made a trade last week too for Justin Sorda, who's a kid we're actually going to see on the NHL roster next year. They 23 years old in the Florida Panthers organization, couldn't crack the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, but a guy Chris Patrick and Brian McClellan think is going to be probably a second or third line player. Can essentially a TJ Oshie and Andrew Mangiapane replacement for this team, but it's been a busy few days for them in training for Sorda, making whatever five or six picks in the draft. Probably not tendering Alex Alexiev, a restricted free agent qualifying offer, so he's likely going to go elsewhere, and we'll see what they do in free agency tomorrow.
What'd you make of that trade? It felt like a little bit of a decent price, giving up a second-round pick and a sixth-round pick, but it seems like a guy that could help you out this season.
Yeah, and probably admittedly an overpay from the Capitals because they were not the only team interested in Justin Sorda, and so the competition sort of forced them to make it a second round pick because if they would not have made that deal, someone else would have. And essentially it's trying to get an asset from another team without going into free agency and thinking that rather than leaning on some of the internal options and Ethan Frank, Ivan Mirshenko and others sort of in the system, you're getting a guy with a handful of games of NHL experience who they think fits in well. They did scout him a few years ago when the Panthers drafted him and have liked him all along. Yeah, the asset cost of giving up a second-round pick is not what you want. But when you consider how much money some players who are older and maybe not as productive, maybe not the same upside, are going to get in free agency next year, it's a gamble the Capitals are willing to take.
Is there a position that they need to be trying to get on this team to help them out next year?
Yeah, Mitch. I think they need either a winger or a third line center. And this is the good thing about the way the roster is built right now is they've got moving pieces. They got a guy like Connor McMichael who can play center and can play wing. So if you go out and look for someone like Brock Besser in Vancouver, as a 6-time 20-goal scorer and somebody who's 28 years old, who when Alex Ovechkin retires, what we think is going to retire a year from now, he turns 40 in September and play his last year out. A guy who feels like he's the immediate replacement to go in that Ovi spot on the power play in the faceoff circle, can play second or third line, either left or right wing as needed, and somebody like that. But also, Chris Patrick admitted this, conceded this to us the other day, that they're going to be looking for some big free agents. But also, if they miss out, they have the ability now with some cap space and the salary cap going up $7.5 million, the most that's ever gone up since the cap started existing in 2005. That they have the ability to maybe sign two or three players and sort of spread that money around. Sort of is definitely a replacement for either Taylor Radish or Andrew Mangiapane, but there's room for them to go big game hunting for probably a middle six winger, most likely.
What do you make of Anthony Beauvillier? Do they bring him back?
Yeah, that's an interesting one because he was a really good fit when they got him at the trade deadline, but the price might not be there. And I think one of the reasons why Capitals went out and got Justin sort of is because Andrew Mangiapane is not going to be back and because I think Anthony Beauvillier is going to be tough for the Capitals to sort of meet his price. The cap's going up so much that sort of everyone's have to recalibrate what they think players are worth at this point. And if Anthony Bovilla, based on how well he played in the playoffs, he's that sort of smaller but really fast skating player who sort of fits the modern, what we thought, think the modern NHL is going to look like, that I think Anthony Bovilla could get a multi-year contract somewhere else, where the Capitals might want to say, we'll do a year or two. And so I think more than likely he hits the open market, but they've continued to talk to Mangiapane, they continue to talk to Anthony Beauvillier. I don't think Lars Eller has a very good chance of being back. We know Taylor Radish is not going to be back, but we've still got a good 23 hours now until the open market, and Chris Patrick continues to talk to those folks' representatives about bringing him back.
Talking with Stephen Wino about the Washington Capitals, he writes for the AP on the Caps. What do you make of some of the young guys coming through the system? Ryan Leonard obviously made his debut last year and played well in his time. Are there some other guys that you think internally could come in and make a big impact for this team if they're not able to maybe swing big, like you're saying, in the free agency market?
Yeah, Andrew Kristol's the guy, forward, who almost made the roster last year. And it was a real internal debate among the Capitals front office and coaching staff of, do we want to keep him around or do we want to send him back to junior and sort of almost overcook him a little bit and have him develop a little bit more? He's eligible to play in the American Hockey League with the Hershey Bears beginning next year. But to me, he's that first call-up guy. He's someone who I could see making the roster out of training camp if he has as good a camp as he did last year. And then you've got Cole Hudson, who's the Rookie of the Year's brother. Lane Hudson in Montreal is his younger brother. And Chris Patrick singled him out as a guy who's going to be at development camp this week. Everybody will be able to go watch him skate this week. And same sort of like real smaller defenseman, really good puck mover. He's going to be one of the future faces of this franchise, I think. And I don't think we're going to see him in the NHL next season. I think this is another year at college for Hudson. But he's one of those guys you can see that when John Carlson, some of these older defensemen sort of cycle out of this team, out of the NHL, that Hudson's going to be a guy to watch for probably a year from now, a little over a year from now. Andrew Kristol's the guy who I think comes to training camp in September and dares Spencer Carberry and the coaching staff to send him to the minors.
So we look, watching the NHL playoffs, and I watch how everybody played, are the Caps, do they need to just get like faster, or do they need to change the way they play? Because you look at the way when they played against Carolina, and then Carolina went and played against
Florida,
and Florida made Carolina look like they were slow, and the way that they were so aggressive. Do the style has to change?
I'm not sure, Brian, if the style needs to change or just. And this is like the NHL is a copycat league. Everyone looks at who won and said, How do we be that? And everybody was looking at the Capitals like that in 2018 is let's get bigger and tougher and all that. And what the Panthers did is they've just built a team so perfectly to be able to play a little bit more of an aggressive sort of forechecking whatever style that it's hard to replicate that. So I don't think the Capitals need to essentially become anything more like the Panthers or like the Hurricanes. They just need more talent. And this is something that like when they won in 2018, it was Ovechkin, Nick Backstrom, T.J. Oshie, Evgeny Kuznetsov, John Carlson, all in their prime. I think it's a matter of time. And Brian McClellan did a really good job of setting the table for this, of going and getting a Pierre-Luc Dubois last year, a year from now, as sort of a buy-low candidate. They've got their goalie signed for long-term. Logan Thompson's their guy at that position. I just think they need to sort of – time needs to go by as you sort of grow the prospects you have in the system, whether it's Ryan Leonard, Andrew Kristol, Hudson, these sort of guys – there. And you hope that the draft picks, Tarek Parasek from last year, Lyndon Lakovich this year, sort of grow along the fly, because you can't essentially replicate what the Panthers do. It's too hard to play like that unless you have the exact right mix of guys to do it. But the Capitals are a playoff team. They're a legitimate good team to keep making the playoffs year after year. But man, it's really hard to play like the Panthers do. It's hard to play like the Hurricanes do. We saw that in the second round. The way that they play all season is really hard to do. And the Hurricanes are sort of having the same sort of look in the mirror session now of how do we become the Panthers? How do we get over the hump? The Capitals, I think it's a matter of time as you sort of let these prospects sort of cook and develop.
Who were some of the top guys in free agency that you could see Washington going after? I know I've seen a lot of people on Twitter maybe hoping for Mitch Marner. I think I've seen a lot of people also hoping not for Brad Marchand to end up here. What are some of the targets you think Washington could go after?
No, you want Mitch Marner here. Trust me. Like, just dealing with him, he's one of the best guys in hockey, just to sort of to talk to and all that. But he's a mean, great. He's a little more of a small guy, but like he's a pain in the butt to play against.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're the Capitals or the Maple Leafs or a handful of other contenders in the East, you want a guy like Brad Marchand. A couple of names I've heard. I think there's a better chance I play for the Capitals next year than Mitch Marner. So let's put that to rest. I don't think there's a high chance.
Have you been working on your skating? Is that what it is?
Yeah, my skating needs to improve. I also need to grow like 5 or 6 inches. So that would be great. But I think the couple of names, Brock Besser from Vancouver, I mentioned earlier, I think is a guy that the Capitals would fit perfectly. Connor McMichael becomes your second line center, and Besser slots in pretty well. But there's a lot of teams in the league looking for a guy like Brock Besser. Nikolaj Ehlers is if you need to fill your Danish quotient by Lars Eller leaving. Danish winger also sort of fits that middle six mold. The cap's going up so much, guys, that like a lot of players are going to get paid, and we're gonna say this is crazy how much these guys are making. I think the Capitals' free agency big year is next year. I think everything that Chris Patrick and Brian McClellan do over the next few days is going to set up them going after a real big fish next year. If Mitch Marner were a free agent a year from now, this would be a legitimate possibility, and I wouldn't be joking or laughing it off. But I think everything they do when Alex Ovechkin money comes off the salary cap next year, and another big leap of whatever, $8 million to over $100 million for the first time for the NHL salary cap, they're going to be able to really do something next year. Now it's a matter of, can they do some short-term signings, 2-3-year deals, to get the right pieces around and sort of go and set yourself up to have $15, $20 million to be able to chase someone a year from now? Mm.
Do you believe that it's the final ride next year for Alex Ovechkin from the little reports we got about the email from Monumental to the interview with his wife out in some Russian outlet? Or are you think this is the final ride for Ovi next year?
Yeah, I do, and not that I don't think an announcement needs to be made. I don't think Alex Ovechkin wants sort of the Marc-Andre Fleury farewell tour where he's mm-hmm. going to every city and getting gifts and flowers and all that. But I think it's pretty clear at 40 years old that Alex Ovechkin's role is going to change in terms of he's going to be a power play guy who probably plays a little bit less at even strength and is essentially a specialist, as Spencer Carberry tried to do in the playoffs. And sort of after he broke breaking the record last year with Alex Ovechkin is probably his last ride. Now, look, with the CBA changing and no fitness testing and no dress code moving forward, does Alex Ovechkin maybe want to come back for another year? Who knows? We could be having the same conversation a year from now. But all signs point to this is the end of his contract. He turns 40. We've all thought he wants to play a season in Russia in the KHL 1 year in front of sort of his family and all those folks before he retires. And then the second he retires, start the clock for the Hall of Fame because 3 years later he's getting it.
Talking with Stephen Wino of the AP, I want to transition, talk a little football as well. What have you made of this offseason with the Terry McLaurin stuff, and when do you think that ultimately gets done?
Well, I wasn't worried when he didn't show up at mandatory minicamp, and I said this to Brian, to you and JP yep. when it happened, is I'm not worried when it's May and June. If 3 weeks from now, 3.5 weeks from now, he's not on the field for training camp, then I worry. And this is a guy, we know Terry McLaurin. He's the Media Good Guy Award every single year. He's been incredibly great for us to deal with, and I think for the team to deal with. I think for a lot of the teammates in that locker room, forget about us, he's a very well-respected guy who is a 1,000-yard receiver every single year. Mm-hmm. No, he's quarterback-proof in the way that very few receivers are. And now he's got Jaden Daniels, and now he's got Deebo Samuel, so to take a little bit of pressure off him. But he also wants to get paid like a T. Higgins, like maybe not Jamar Chase and CeeDee Lamb, but he wants to get paid like a number one receiver. And so it's starting they're starting to have that is he getting a little older? Does the team see him differently than he sees him? I'm intrigued by this because you look from a sentimental standpoint and think this guy should play for the Washington Commanders for the rest of his career. Mm-hmm. And then from a very hard standpoint, you're like, well, he's getting close to 30 and those sort of things. And that's sort of the negotiation that I'm sure is going on behind the scenes with Adam Peters and Terry McLaurin's camp is how do you find the mix of, we want to pay you for what you've done for us already. But also we want you to be productive for the next 3 to 5 years. And we don't want to pay do a back payment on what you've done for us already. We want you to be a productive receiver for the next 5 years. I think something gets done. I don't super incredibly long-term deal, but something in the 3 to 5 year range to sort of make him happy. He's the perfect guy, right? For to have Jaden, to sort of help Jaden Daniels grow up in the NHL, in the NFL, excuse me, that beyond just making a lot of catches, having a lot of yards, he's the perfect locker room guy to sort of show Jaden Daniels the way and help a young team sort of grow into being a Super Bowl contender. I think ultimately it gets done. I'm a little more worried than I was three weeks ago, but let's check in on day one of training camp, yeah, and let's make sure Terry McLaurin's on the field.
I think he shows the whole team the way.
He does. He does.
Look how good he is, and others, yeah, he's still same dude he was in the beginning. Calm,
yeah, he's
cool.
He's terrific.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, too, with the way that he conducts himself even in this sort of standoff of sorts, right, where it's not like he's out in the media complaining and all those things. I think he's a great example for all the young guys on this team. Last one, Swino, talking about the Commanders still. Which one of these second-year guys, with the exception of Jaden and maybe Mikey as well, do you think needs to have a really good season and will have a really good season?
I think Ben Sinnott is the guy because we know Zach Ertz is back, and he is sort of, as he acknowledged, sort of on the back nine of his career. Ben Sinnott is a guy who didn't have his first touchdown catch, so I think week six or seven there, but he's a big guy. The team obviously spent a high draft pick, a day two draft pick, on a highly touted player, and they're going to need him, honestly, with the sort of the turnover at that position, and maybe some of the guys drafted in the previous regime not turning out to be the sort of player, Cole Turner, that maybe the organization thought before that. Ben Sinnott is the guy for me, because this is an offense where you're going to have a little bit of changeover of what the running back position looks like. You're going to have, obviously, Deebo Samuel and ideally Terry McLaurin on the outside. Having that sort of safety valve for Jaden Daniels in this offense, if Zach Ertz drops off, and even when Zach Ertz leaves in a year or whenever he retires, I think Ben Sinnott is the guy more than anybody else the Commanders are counting on.
Appreciate the time, man. Hopefully you enjoy your holiday. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the holiday. Talk to you soon.
Take care, man.
That's Stephen Wino of the AP, covers the Capitals and the Commanders. I mean, cap stuff, man. So much going on in the sports world with the
it's a new era
drafts
on the way,
and all
bro.
This stuff. Well, and that's what I think the Capitals don't get enough credit for, B. Mitch, is they've done a good job where Ovi's probably done after this upcoming season. I think there's a 90% chance that this is, if not higher, that this is his final season. But they're set up to still be good after Ovi, which wasn't the case a couple of years ago. Bringing in a Jacob Chychrun and the steps that you've seen with Connor McMichael and Alexi Protas and some of these other guys coming down the line, suddenly you look like if you can spend in free agency and find the Ovi replacement of whoever is going to be that star.
I don't want to be that guy.
I don't know that I want to be that guy either.
Don't say, whoever it is, please don't say Ovi replacement.
No, well.
Because people are going to start comparing him. And expecting and
the Capitals star after Ovi. Let's say it that way. The Capitals big star after Ovi. But yeah, they've set themselves up in a good spot.
Yeah.
Next, I want to talk about Terry McLaurin. We just got a report on the Pat McAfee show from Adam Schefter of him talking about the Terry McLaurin contract. We'll get you that and talk about
what kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you.
No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh my God!
Ball scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam. Walk off, baby! This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But next, here on B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Interesting stuff out there regarding Commanders to unveil a new alternate uniform, which will include a helmet, a new helmet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is a big surprise, honestly.
Well, you said it already.
Josh Harris, when they did their end of the season wrap up in early February after the NFC Championship loss, came out and said, "I think the owner has been very clear that the name is not changing. I think folks got to understand that and get past it." He said, the Commander's name means something in our building now. You've heard DQ, AP say that. Players, if you're a 21-year-old kid that just got drafted to Washington, I mean, you probably don't even remember a lot of this stuff. Like, that's just the reality. They're just here
to play. It didn't happen yesterday. Most of these guys that they don't know.
Right. Happened. I mean, it was 2019.
Yeah.
6 years ago, dude. But back in February, Josh Harris said, as far as rebranding and bringing our past, which obviously I grew up with, all the Super Bowl championships, and our future together, you're going to see us head back towards honoring our past and bringing it together with our future.
Mm-hmm.
News has emerged from sportslogos.net, which I think is on top of this sort of stuff, that the Commanders will unveil these jerseys July 9th. Which is what, a week from today? So next Wednesday? Folks will be fired up about that.
We know.
I will be fired up to be on vacation.
I'm coming to work in my jersey.
This one.
Do you not have any old jerseys?
I do. I have old jerseys and I have some new jerseys.
So just wear the old ones. And that's what the new alter is probably going to look
jersey
just like
I was
it.
Wearing. I just said I'm coming to work in my jersey. You'll be surprised if I pop up with a B-Miss jersey.
He won't.
I don't think you have a B.
You didn't know who B. Mitch was when you started working with him. So you damn sure don't.
But I learned.
There.
You can't tell me look in the past and then when I finally embrace it, you get
well,
mad
kinda
at
it's
kind
of hard me. To get one, so I'm not getting mad. They don't mad about it. I'm just saying you don't have one.
Matter of fact, how much for one of your jerseys? Let's bid right now.
Off of my wall?
Yep.
Oh, man, you got to start about 8,000.
I was going to say 10.
No, I'm going to start them at, you know, I like to just build it up a little bit.
So the biggest thing that's going to, I think, come from this is what, if anything, will they do with the helmet? Because I think these new alternates are just going to look like the old dope uniforms. And I've been pretty clear. I don't really like the new uniforms. I think they bastardized the colors. I kind of like the black ones. It's just something different. I'd love to keep the black ones and just go back to the old classic ones. But they're going to keep these and then reintroduce the old one, basically. I don't know. I wonder, B, because it's one uniform, if they roll out the old burgundy. Personally, I'd rather them roll out the old white because I think the current burgundy and gold Commanders jerseys, I don't mind. I think the white ones look like a Louisville Cardinal alternate jersey. Like they
I used to like the white with the burgundy pants back in the day.
Yeah, that you
That's
guys
what
wore.
I loved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big debate, I guess. The big debate is what the new alternate helmet will look like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you agree. I'm curious. I do not think they're going to put the old logo on a helmet. Do you?
No. I don't think that's happening.
I don't either. Now, there's a lot of talk about maybe the spear, like a spear. Maybe it's not that spear.
And I think that's, you keep hearing that pop up, you know. That could be something.
Well, As you watch some of the social media stuff they've rolled out, like officially the team, it seemed like, so when they did their gladiator shoot, they do a big photo shoot for the whole team. Mm-hmm. Everybody comes in, and enough of those pictures have emerged, and there's one with Jaden holding a spear.
I was there that day.
Right. The motif, if you will, to me, looked like Roman, like gladiators, like the Colosseum. Everything was in the Roman numerals.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what Russell Crowe had in Gladiator?
A spear.
A spear.
Yeah.
So I think you can get to a place where maybe there's a spear, and maybe that really ties things back to what, you know, I think Sonny Jurgensen wore a spear helmet. I remember the throwbacks when Daryl Green was wearing it. Like, if you can get to a spear helmet and you make clear that this is the commander's spear, this is not tied to Native American folklore,
mm-hmm.
I think you can land in that space, and I think folks will be thrilled in that space.
I agree.
And I think you got smart people running things. If the five of us could sit here and kind of figure that out, I think the really highly paid professionals can figure this out.
Yeah.
They're not going to roll out a new version of the W. I know that much.
Nah.
Saeed is on the line. Saeed, you fired up about training camp and uniforms?
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. And I think there's two really important things to note about that is that, number one, a lot of teams, they just open the gates and you bring your chair in and you sit on the sidelines and you watch the, you know, players train. Like, at least the Commanders go all out and they make it like a festival. They have activities and things like that. So I think that's what really makes it cool. And then the second thing is I still have PTSD when, like, B. Mitch had to tell us, don't worry, when Rivera's team gets to the regular season, it won't look like practice, because we'd come into practices and we'd be like, this is horrible. And we'd try to, you know, look at all the different plays saying, this must be really vanilla, vanilla, vanilla. I'd much rather we get to see them 3-4 times, let them practice their hardest where we're not there and practice all the plays and not be all vanilla than for us to have access every single day. Let them do what they do behind the scenes, and then we get to see amazing stuff on Sundays. And, you know, Philly's doing it. Yeah.
All right, brother.
That goes.
Good call, Saeed. Thanks, dude. I agree. I think there's definitely a reason. Phone lines are open. 800-636-1067. What'd you say?
Doesn't Ahmed have a cousin named Saeed? And he's a fan, too.
He has a – he may. I know he has a cousin named Samir.
I know Samir. Yeah. Samir. It's hard to S.
I think – I definitely don't think it's a coincidence that all of the open practices are very early in camp. Because early on, you're not putting in – third down red zone, right? And that doesn't mean they won't run red zone drills and 2-minute drills and all that stuff, but yeah. Like,
I know, I see where you're coming from.
I think early on, okay, we got fans here. They can post videos whenever they want. Cool. But I think there'll be a lot. These dudes are about football. And I think.
And I love it.
I got a guy arguing with me on Twitter that I don't. So.
Just ban him.
This. I'm happy to engage. I don't agree with this dude. He says DQ can hate fans and fan days all he wants. Without fans, there is no football. Days, like you said, you could go. Nobody hates fans, dude. That's not what this is about.
That dude is an absolute idiot that you're talking to right there. Nobody has said anybody hate anything. But every coach, even Coach Gibbs, did not want fans around. Coach Gibbs thought everybody was giving away the secrets. You know what I'm saying? And you just got to get rid of it.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I'm going to take line one. There we go. D is in D.C. D, what do you think about training camp and maybe some new unis?
B. Mitch Finley, what up, what up, what up?
What's up, man? Brother?
Hey, man, I was just thinking, like, we got the old Warriors crew in here on this marketing thing here. So, like, Golden State Warriors. So their whole rebrand was, little people know that they used to be like Native American tied as well. and they changing it up to this bleak little just, you know, Warriors W and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a little bleak to me going the Roman numerals and Roman background, but, you know, hopefully we can get Terry signed before training camp and, you know, my mind will be at ease. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Thanks, dude. Terry signing is far more important. Yeah. Andre's in Alexandria. What up, Dre?
Hey, how you doing, guys? B Mitch and JP.
What up, good, bud?
Before you nail me, JP, I was trying to get through with B Mitch on you. I was talking about Debo Samuels. I couldn't get through, and I just had to. It was killing me. I had to get my opinion in. And B Mitch is a competitive guy, just like Debo Samuel is. Now, B Mitch, if someone tells you you fat and you out of shape, and they're going to destroy you, B. Mitch, or they ain't got to worry about B. Mitch because he can't catch punts, he can't play running back, quarterback. The type of competitive B. Mitch is, and I believe Samuel's the same, they're going to do everything they can to shut your mouth and embarrass you when you disrespect them. So all those Eagle fans that's talking all that
shit. All right. Dre, that's all well and good. What do you think of 3 training camp practices?
I could care less. It don't matter what the fans think. It doesn't matter what the team do when they get out there. So the fans doesn't
Amen.
Really matter to me.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for the call, bud.
I'm a ball player myself, B-Mitch.
All right, brother. Appreciate it.
Our boy Los from Severna Park. Los, what do you think about camp and unis?
Unis, I can't wait, even though I got like all kinds of Redskins Commanders uniforms and all that. Training camp, I got tickets for the public. I got tickets for the 27th of July, but I'm nervous because I want to go to the military one. Last year we were waiting on an email, but email never got out. So I can't wait for that one. I'm nervous, but I'm excited, man. Listen, anything to get the fans riled up, give the people what they want. They want this. I don't care. Let's just go out and have fun.
The people want a winning team, don't they, Los?
Amen. That's winning team.
Let's give them that.
They finally got it.
Yeah, let's keep giving them that. I guarantee they'll be a lot happier.
I'm there too.
Right? Let them come to all practices and don't win. See what the hell they say.
We saw that for a while. Thank you, Los. Appreciate you, buddy. Yep. Hey, Los, you still there?
Yeah.
How many Skins/Commanders jerseys do you own?
Ooh, okay. Well, listen, I think I got like 7 Sean Taylor jerseys by itself. Hey. Yeah, 7 Sean
7
Taylor,
Sean
ones.
Taylor
got,
jerseys.
Yeah, yeah. So there's the burgundy and gold Sean Taylor, the military Sean Taylor, the alternative Sean Taylor. What else? I got the shadow Sean Taylor. I don't got a Commanders Sean Taylor one. And then I know there's one more. Oh, the old mustard Sean Taylor one as well. So
that's a lot.
Yeah, I got. Yeah, Sean Taylor. The next one is going to be Jane Daniels. Believe that.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Los. Take care, buddy.
Peace.
Let's try Elijah. Elijah, you good with the training camp uniform news?
Hey, man, I'm good with it. Hey, man, they know what they're doing. Based off of last year, I feel like at this point, there's not too many things that we can question or how they're moving into the season, different things that they're moves that they're making. We just got to sit back and be happy, man. Whatever we get, I'd rather, like Main Man said a few calls ago, I'd rather get one practice if they're going to say, man, we trying to get this trophy. We need y'all to go home so we can get down to business. And if you can't get behind that, then you're not really down with the squad, right? So I'm happy they got everything going right. Debo going to look good, man. No, I don't think there's going to be an underneath defender or linebacker or very small crew of linebackers are going to be able to handle him and stick with him and turn their hips and follow him up the seam. And a lot of this stuff is fear-based. Look at the tape. You saw what he did to Philly. Let the big boys start mixing and meshing and got offensive linemen running this way, offensive linemen running that way. Okay, we see you soon. We all right. So, man, we in good shape, y'all. You know
all right,
what time
bro. It is. Appreciate you, Elijah. Eric in Fairfax. What's up, E?
Hey, thanks for taking the call here. So I think I speak for most like Redskins fans when we said like when the rebrand happened, it was like we were so frustrated because it was the most botched, like easiest rebrand they could have done, but they made it like everything that could have gone wrong, they did. And so what I mean by that is most of us all know that the Redskin name is not coming back. We're kind of past that. But, like, we're angry that the rebrand kind of made us look like a totally, like, new team, a new franchise. And so it's like we're all screaming, like, just come up with a name that starts with, the letter R. So you still have the cursive R helmet or logo, as well as you still have HTTR, you know, a hashtag. And it just seems like they just overhauled everything and didn't even think about that. It felt like you can, change the name but still have a homage to the old, you know, have the same uniforms, have the same colors, design, still have like the cursive R helmet, the spear, still have the HTTR. And it seems like that would have been the most easiest, smoothest rebrand. And they just totally botched it, in my opinion.
Dude,
we have a whole new team of people now. And I think we got to get past that, what they did, and worry about what the crew right now is doing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think what Eric said is right. And I think what B said is right. Like, did they mess it up? Yes. Was that now 4 seasons ago and there's new ownership and nothing but like good things on the horizon? Yes. So I think by this group trying to bring back a classic uniform is another step in like, all right, man, let's all just move forward. What do you always say, B?
Right.
The windshield, not the rear view.
Yeah, windshield, not the rear view mirror.
Yeah, no, I fully trust, like, you know, like the previous caller said, like, I definitely trust new ownership and new management. Obviously, they can't do what the former organization or ownership and management did in the past. Like, excited to bring back, hopefully, like, those old school uniforms or the ones that were, you know, during the Snyder years. But, understand, can't go back to the old name, but just want to talk about how, you know, I think a lot of people wished us come up with any name starting with R, but, you know, excited for the new uniforms. Hopefully they look great going forward.
It's a good call, Eric. Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Nope.
Let's let Tailgate Ted round us out here. Teddy, it's a big day for you. Training camp and uni talk.
Yeah, man, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. I know some fans are having a hard time claiming the passes. If you're a season ticket holder, make sure you're logged into your SeatGeek account, because that's what some of the stuff is going on to claim your spot. But, man, I'm happy with the fact that we have this many passes available for the fans, because that just means it's more time for the team to focus without us being there and do what really matters and get ready for the season. I mean, the team has stuff available for us and they're still out there. So I agree with B. I'd rather they go out to Carlisle or someplace away from us so they can just focus on it. But I'm happy that we have enough time to go out there and actually spend time with them as well.
Yeah, man. Great call, Ted. Well said. And I know you're a dude that goes to everything. And I think the fact that there are still tickets available, like, we're now 90 minutes into this thing. That's plenty of time. In the world we live in, where everybody's on their phone all the time, they've seen a notification about this.
Mm-hmm.
I think, thank you, Ted. Appreciate you, man. Have a great 4th of July.
Appreciate you, boys.
All right, brother.
You too.
Sometimes I think people just want to complain. Like, whatever the news
is,
whatever gets announced, they're just mad about something. I did want to circle back to something Landfill wrote on the show sheet, B. When we return, is tomato soup stupid? Nobody go anywhere.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you.
No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Got Nats baseball coming up just a couple hours if it all goes down, man. Joining us right now, though, I'm really excited to get this dude on the phone, Jack Smith. Jack does play-by-play for the Fredericksburg Nationals. You can follow him at Jack Smith PXP. Jack joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Jack just graduated from University of Southern California and was named the Jim Nantz College Broadcaster of the Year. I got to listen to Jack speak whenever Monday night, and I was blown away. Jack, what's up, dude? Thanks for making time.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me.
So tell B a little bit about what you did at USC and how you got this award.
Well, first of all, I think DC needs to know you won the DC Sportscaster of the Year.
Yeah,
about a round of
old
applause
news
for you. Congratulations.
We're good. Yeah, thanks, dude.
He like to downplay all that stuff, Jack. I don't know. I don't understand this dude. He works his ass off, then he gets up and he want to act like it never happened.
Let's talk about you, Jack.
Jack, put him on Front Street.
Yeah, you know, at USC, obviously, we've got some great athletics, but, you know, there's a handful of people there as well that want to be broadcasters and call the games that those guys play, and that was me growing up, and that was me at USC, and really fun to be able to call some really big sports there, and just kind of for 4 years work at that. You know, you go to practice, you go to games, you call them as many as you can.
So were you calling
and then,
football?
You know, at the end of the year to... Yeah, yeah. So football, baseball, basketball. Obviously, we had pretty blessed to have Caleb Williams and Juju Watkins run there in my 4 years. But, yeah, so pretty much all sports. And the recognition was cool, but just feel great to have gotten that experience and, you know, jump into the minor league world and be here in Fredericksburg.
That's very cool. So what is... what's it like? Do they call the Frederick... Or is that the Peanuts? Do I have that right?
So it was. The team used to be in Potomac, so that's probably why you think that. So they used to be in Potomac as the Potomac Nationals. The Silbert family, who owned the team, moved them to Fredericksburg to be ready for 2020. Obviously, that season didn't end up happening. So since 2021, they've been playing here in Fredericksburg. So it's the Frednats, not the Peanuts. But they are the same team, just in 2021 changed names, yeah.
Okay, got it. How does it work in the minors? Do you go on the road with them? Are you just on the bus with them? Like, how does that all shake out?
Yeah, we go on the road. So me and my other broadcast partner, we go on the road as well. The team's in Delmarva right now. I'm back here at home as we ready up. We're back home again for July 4th, so it's a little bit of a split week. But most minor league broadcasters take the bus. We drive just to be able to have some flexibility in whatever city we're in. But, yeah, it's a 132-game season. Team goes on the road. They play at home. Instead of like the major leagues where it's 3 or 4 game series, in the minors it's a 6 game series. So you're in one city for
Damn.
6 of the 7 days of the week, Tuesday through Sunday, and then Monday is an off day for everybody here at the single A level. So most of the time you alternate between 6 home games to 6 road games. Sometimes you'll have 2 homestands in a row, 2 road trips in a row. But yeah, they're long series, but they're fun, and there's a lot of good players in this league.
Well, Jack, what I'm hearing is that you have to put in a lot of work, but it's rewarding at the end, right? So anybody like younger than you or probably your age that all of a sudden see somebody on TV, see a J.P. Finley win the D.C. Sports Council of the Year, and they go, oh, man, I want to do that. That seems fun. Is it just fun or is work goes into it?
Oh, I mean, I think work goes into anything fun.
Yeah.
You know, obviously.
But people don't think that, though. They just think you just show up there.
Dude, I get a million emails like, how can I get your job? Like, well, I worked middle of the night for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously, especially at the minor league level, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. But, and again, any job that's fun or any job that's worthwhile, it takes work to not only get there, but you got to do work while you're doing it to stay good at it and to do a good job at something. But it's really fun. And, you know, some of the work that we do here is just kind of helping media relations, but also making it a good experience for people in the ballpark. We have a really nice stadium that's built in 2019, so it's super new. It's one of the best in minor league baseball. And so, you know, doing some stuff for the video board or for the stream for people to watch around as they walk around the ballpark. It's obviously it's hard work, but it's, I find, pretty rewarding.
Well, talking with our friend Jack Smith here, play-by-play for the Fredericksburg Nationals, just won the Jim Nance College Broadcaster of the Year Award for his work at Southern Cal for the Trojans. Jim Nance filmed a video, B, for him that I got to watch. And I don't know. It sure looked like Jim Nance was sitting in Augusta when he filmed this, or he might have recreated Augusta in his backyard. But wherever Nance was looked very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
So
I will see Jack doing that one day.
Dude, I think we will. I'm telling you, this kid was so impressive. How old are you, dude?
21.
Yeah. All right. What do you want to do? Baseball, football, whatever comes your way? Like, is there a desire?
Yeah, I mean, I think any broadcaster that, you know, will say they want to do anything that comes their way, and I'm definitely like that as well. I'm not going to say no to something cool, but my number one dream's always been baseball, and that's the sport that I grew up playing. It's my favorite one. And so I think dream job is, you know, something like some of the Bob Carpenters of the world do, or Dave Jagler or Charlie Slows, you know, doing play-by-play at the major league level, whether that's radio or TV, always been a dream of mine. And that's why, you know, the minor league grind sometimes is not what people want to do. And for me, it's totally worth it just because being able to show up at a baseball game every day and call play-by-play for a couple innings and bring the game to the fans, that's the number one dream for me. And I have so much fun doing it. And our fans are great. And they tune into the broadcast and they listen. And it's really, really cool. But that's always been the dream for me.
What's been your biggest game or biggest play called so far?
Oh, that's a good question. Growing up a USC fan, the one that felt maybe the biggest to me was USC-UCLA football this year. That was in the Rose Bowl. You know, there's a lot of good USC-UCLA games I got to do. The women's basketball this year, USC was the number 2 team in the country. UCLA was the number 1. They were undefeated. And then Juju Watkins dropped like 50 points, beat UCLA, and then USC had, you know, was the first team to beat UCLA. That was a big game. Some football ones this year, it was really cool to see USC go to Michigan. That was the first Big Ten game for them. That was in the Big House, which was the biggest crowd Michigan had ever had. JP will like this one. Maryland beating USC this year. That was not a big game. That one sucked.
I thought it was great. I loved
that one.
Sure
you did. Yeah, that was like our third road game in a row where the opposing team stormed the field after they beat us. So the storming of.
Hey, man, just let us live, dude. We beat USC. Doesn't matter if it's a down year. All right, so Jack, here's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
This is obviously a hypothetical because neither of these teams are going to sniff this. Game 5 NLDS. Skeens is on the mound. James Wood is at the plate. 3-run bomb. I need you to call it for me.
Oh, I don't know if I can do that.
I think you can.
You're putting me on the spot.
I sure am.
All right. I'm going to try. This is, I will tell you, like inside the mind of a play-by-play broadcaster, that is one of the hardest things to do is to call a play that's not happening.
Really? Well, yeah. Sorry. Still have to try.
I say the same thing all the time,
it's
man.
Like, it's so much of a reactionary business to see something happening and describe it as you see it. So I need, you know, you want to give me a little more detail? Where's this ball landing? Where are we at?
It's landing We're
deep
NASCAR.
Center. He hits the middle NASCAR, of the curly W.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a home game. Walk
into
off.
The curly W.
Yeah.
Well, walk off. All right.
Yeah. What the hell?
I'm gonna dramatize it a little bit.
Yeah.
And Skeen sets from the belt. Here he comes. Wood cracks it in the air, high in deep center field, way back off the curly W, and the Nats walk it off in Game 5.
I like that.
I love it, dude. I love it. I got goosebumps, man. All right, I'm doing another one, and I apologize if this is annoying.
Oh, boy.
But, dude, this is July 2nd content, Jack. You got to understand where we are.
I gotcha.
All right.
Hey, Jack, we talk about this 25 years from now.
I know, dude.
Look, Terry Crews drew a picture for me. He was 27 years old.
Unbelievable.
And I sent it to him yesterday. He put it on there, and he was now in his 50s, so it's the beginning.
dude, when Jack's calling Dodger games every night, like, we're going to joke about this.
Yes.
Let me pump the brakes on Dodgers a little bit. I, you know, grew up in the Bay Area, so
you're a Giants fan.
But the Dodgers are going to call you and offer you $45 million a year. Come on.
I think he'd take the Dodgers.
Yeah, maybe you can't turn that down.
All right, last one, Jack. We're going to football.
All right.
Week 8, Monday night, Arrowhead. Jaden Daniels at the Kansas City 32, down 4. Finds McLaurin back of the end zone.
For a TD, baby.
For a touchdown, 8 seconds left.
Okay. What down and distance do we got? Not that it matters with 8 seconds left.
Second and 13.
All right. Second and 13 at the Kansas City 32-yard line. Clock winding down for the Commanders. 8 seconds left for Daniels and company. He's in the shotgun. He looks left as he directs McLaurin in motion to the right. Daniels takes the snap. It's a 5-step drop. Pressure in his face. He rolls out to the right. Looks for McLaurin deep. Tosses it back left pylon. He makes the catch. Touchdown, Commanders. Terry McLaurin in the back of the end zone gives Washington the lead at Arrowhead.
Money they gave him in offseason was necessary.
Dude, that is so good.
Hey, I try.
Dude.
You do a good job,
especially,
man.
We just threw that at you. Maybe we keep doing this. We'll have you on throughout the summer.
Oh, when there's not,
until
that.
Football starts.
Hey, ask him how much he's paying.
Yeah, I might need a couple dollars for the next one.
All right, we'll see what we can work out. Where are you going? Delmarva? Go to Starboard. We'll have Monty buy you dinner, all right?
No, they get more dinner than go to Monty.
That's true. Jack, man, this Monty is great.
He'll be throwing orange crushes at you all day.
Yo, you can't get 2 feet without a fresh orange crush in your hand.
You guys ever been to a minor league baseball game?
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah, I have.
We got to get you out to a Fredericksburg game.
I went to the what's the team in Richmond? Is there Squirrels?
Squirrels, yeah.
Yeah, I've been to their games.
Flying Squirrels.
Yep.
Back when
their GM is my guy. He got a bar in his office. So sweet.
You guys got to get out to a Fredericksburg game. I mean, if you look up and down the Nats roster right now, at least the Major League roster, you're looking at guys like James Wood, C.J. Abrams, Dalen Lyle. Like, a lot of these guys played in Fredericksburg just a couple of years ago, so.
What time are those games?
Yeah, you got to. We might need
What time are the games normally? Because you got to leave a certain amount of time to go to something in Fredericksburg.
Yeah,
I got you. Maybe a day off. If it's weekdays, they're normally 6:35. Weekend 7:05. But
okay,
you know, tons of top prospects on the team. I don't know if you guys know heard the name Travis Cora.
Yeah,
he's the number one Nats prospect. He keeps shooting up the system. I think he's the 30th overall in Major League Baseball right now. You know, he spent the entire last season here and won our league's pitcher of the year. So, you know, whether it's you guys or anybody else, you have a pretty good chance to see the future of the Nats. And a lot of the present Nats are guys that came through Fredericksburg. So that's one of my favorite things about the minor leagues, is just seeing all of these guys that, you know, they're the future. And a lot of the guys that were the future a couple of years ago are now the present.
Totally, man. But many years ago, before I was married and had children and stuff, I went and watched Strasburg in Harrisburg.
Mm.
And just electric. I went and watched Bryce and Bowie. It was fun, man. Jack, thank you for the time, brother. Really appreciate it, Jack.
Good luck to you, man.
Stay in touch, all right?
Yes, sir. Of course, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, brother. Take care, man.
Give him a follow at JackSmithPXP.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP today.
If you don't pull that.
So, big news over the weekend was NBA free agent Malik Beasley is now under federal investigation over gambling allegations.
The bigger news was he was about to sign a 3-year, $47 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's on hold.
So he's 28 years old, or he was 28 years old when he was with the Bucks, which, according to this, at least one prominent U.S. sports book detected unusual heavy betting interest on Beasley's statistics. And so we've already seen this with Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, Jonte Porter.
Yep.
He got in big trouble. I don't know, man.
Let me break it down for you.
This is something that could become a problem. You certainly hope not.
Well,
but it's something that is become, it seems like, a little bit more prevalent recently with some of the prevalence of sports
betting. Those guys that are bouncing around. And what you see is, I don't know why people all of a sudden think they're the smartest people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Or they think they're smarter than the people that are searching you. Jontay Porter, he got caught. So somebody else said, I'm going to go do the same thing. I tried to, well, allegedly do the exact same thing. And you going, this time you won't get caught. The geolocation and all that stuff on your phone, they find out. Or they know where you are. And if there's a betting around you, they're going to suspect somebody around you doing something.
They investigate everything. Yeah. Everything. So it's all about making money. There's no question about it. There was something that, there was a parlay, I think, last week, where everyone tailed the same parlay for home runs. And it was something like $11 wins 100 grand or something like that. And a bunch of people tailed it and cashed out. And next day, terms and policies are updated to say, hey, if a bunch of people are working together on something, we could cancel out your parlay. So you don't think that they're tracking each and everything going on to understand, well, hey, how often are people betting Malik Beasley props?
Yeah, but if they find out a particular IP address is betting on Malik Beasley, and then they find out it's got some affiliation with Malik Beasley.
Exactly
right.
Whether
it's your brother, your cousin, your girlfriend, your wife, your friend, whoever. Then they're going to start noticing. So that's how Jontay got messed up under. And then he acted like he was hurt that game.
Yeah.
You see that clip where they were down by 9 with 5 seconds left in a game? I think it was the COVID year. And Malik Beasley runs up to the inbounder, demands the basketball, and takes it coast-to-coast uncontested and scores to make it a 7-point game at the buzzer. It's a clip that resurfaced after all this. It could be completely unrelated, but it's just funny to note now.
No, yeah. It's probably not, because in the NBA, when you're already up by 9, I mean, you're down by 9, nobody is going to try and score. Then they dribble the ball out.
The spread was 8.5.
Yeah, so you're giving yourself away. On some stupidity.
It's just
like
it's dumb stuff where, like we were talking about, some of it's hypocritical because it wasn't at the time when he was playing with the Milwaukee Bucks, but he was a part of what was then Bally Sports, is now called FanDuel Sports Network, right? So, hey, I'm Malik Beasley, and you're watching the FanDuel Sports Network, right? Like, you're watching basketball on a sports betting.
You can promote it for the league, but you cannot gamble.
Well, and that's what I think.
The thing about him, though, like, I can, if he were to, let's say, and I know you can't do this, and I'm just saying, if he had gambled on another game or on another sport, I'm okay, cool, I can understand. But on your own prop?
Yeah.
When you completely have control over it?
Yeah, you're
that's asinine. That's saying, come catch me, I'm stupid.
Yeah, I mean, of course it's going to happen. And especially when it becomes obvious in certain scenarios with, you know, for Jontay Porter, it was very obvious with betting an under. And then, you know, his prop is 7.5. He's got 6 points and suddenly his hamstrings pulled, right? You know, like his was pretty obvious. But it's just, yes, it's somewhat hypocritical because so many people immediately point that out. But at the same point, throughout the entire history of playing sports,
the player knows what he can and can't do.
Exactly. Everybody knows you can't bet on yourself.
The leagues and the owners, they're going to have to start putting more. If you're going to tell these guys they can't gamble like you can, they got to put more money into that pot.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be some stuff. And I mean, some of the stuff to me is a little bit crazy where, remember, who was it in the NFL that got suspended for it? And it was for betting at the team facility, quote unquote, but they were on the road at the hotel. Like, some of that stuff is maybe making sure that you're kind of protecting yourself a little bit extra. I'd rather
but
that,
he wasn't
though,
betting on, he was betting, but on something that was legally
correct,
to bet on.
Not on the
but
NFL.
But he did it at the facility.
Yeah, quote unquote, the team facility.
That's crazy.
Despite the fact that he's on the road at the hotel,
yeah,
which is considered the team facility when you're on the road.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, there are certain things like that to me if you want to throw up the fence so high that that counts, it's better than having this.
But what I say is this, though. When you're in certain positions, you have to realize that the rules are not the same for you as it is everybody else. And to protect your position, then you got to be extra protective and understand what you can and can't do.
It's just foolish to think that for someone, because you're right, it's not like this is happening with LeBron or Steph or guys like that. They've made their cash. It's the guys that kind of bounce around. So you don't think a sportsbook's going to notice when there's suddenly an increase in betting props on Malik Beasley?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
it's a little bit crazy to think, like, maybe something's going on here. Every single game, Malik Beasley's getting bet. I don't know.
Every game he's playing in, he's getting bet.
Yeah. I would think that that's going to cause some red flags. So we'll see if what exactly happens. It's just under investigation right now, so no official word on exactly what's going to happen here. But hopefully this isn't something that pops up all too often, but we've already seen multiple players in the NBA.
I'm going to tell you, it will happen again.
It's definitely going to. It's something that's just kind of all around now.
It's
going
to happen again.
We'll see. I'm interested.
What they'll start doing now is get their friend to do it.
Well, I'm interested when it gets into college sports and you start getting some of that.
It was in college sports back in the day, dog. I need you to Google Hot Rod Williams, Tulane University. It was a whole gambling thing going on way back in the day, man. Point shaving, all kinds of stuff.
Well, we'll have to. Hopefully, that doesn't continue going on. Hopefully, it's not. It's going to, but hopefully, they can find a way to quell it.
There's always going to be someone who thinks they're smarter than everybody else.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah. And you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
You're going to pay for it. Coming up next, Stephen Wino going to join us from the AP. We'll talk a little Commanders with him, but also the Capitals had the NHL draft. We'll get some insight onto the new draft picks for the Washington Capitals. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.